And always good to be back. I enjoy coming here. It's one of my favorite places to come. I'm going to ask you to help me. 236 in your songbook. And Jonathan, if I can get you to come back to the instrument just a minute. 236. And you know this song, "There's Not a Friend Like the Lowly Jesus." What I want you to do is I'm going to say, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus." And you're going to say, "No, not one. No, not one." And you do that throughout the verse. Just, "No, not one." Then we all do the chorus together, okay? Then we'll do, of course, we'll do it together on all the verses, all right?
Ready?
Yes, sir. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. None else could heal all my soul's diseases. Now pick it up and sing it. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's no Well, you're doing good. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. Sing it now. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Did ever saint find this friend forsaken? Or sinner find that he would not take him? Doing good. Sing it now. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. Was there a gift like the Savior given? Will he refuse us a home in heaven? Sing now. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. You've done a good job. Thank you for helping me. I like that. One of my favorite songs. I mean, he'll never refuse us. He'll never forsake us. And he's never done it, not with one person. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let me tell you a little story. This happens to be about a blonde-headed woman. She could have been black-headed or gray-headed or any other color, but she happened to be blonde-headed. She's on the plane. She's flying through the air. She's in first class. The stewardess comes up and says, "Ma'am, you can't sit in first class. You didn't pay for it. You need to move back to the economy section." She says, "I'm blonde, I'm a woman, and I'm going to Philadelphia." Well, after a little bit, another stewardess came and said, "Ma'am, you can't sit up here. You didn't pay for it. You're going to have to move back to the economy." She says, "I'm blonde, I'm a woman, I'm going to Philadelphia." Well, after a while, a third one came and whispered something in her ear, and she reached down and gathered her stuff up, moved back to the economy section. They said, "What did you say to her?" She said, "I told her that first class wasn't going to Philadelphia." She could have been black-headed or She just happened to be gray-headed. I mean, blonde-headed. But as silly as that little story is, isn't it amazing how Satan will whisper things to us? And we'll take it, swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. He'll tell you the best days of your Christian life are behind you. So we spend our life looking over our shoulder instead of looking at now and what he's got ahead of us. Listen, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
Yes.
Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. So don't let him tell you what you've got is the best you've ever had, that you'll never have anything beyond this. Don't let him tell you you can't have revival. Don't let him tell you that he cannot save, that God cannot save your family, that he cannot stir your soul. Listen, don't let him tell you something that doesn't make any sense at all when you weigh it against the Word of God. Amen? All right, Galatians chapter 2, if you will, please. Galatians chapter 2. And I'm just going to read one verse, but I'm going to have you to stand because you've been sitting a while, but just one verse. I'll let you take the story and read it in its entirety later, but Galatians chapter 2, for those who can and will, you stand with us, please, for the reading of the Word. This is the Apostle Paul and Peter, and they're in verse 11, Paul said, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Thank you so much. You may be seated, if you will. And what Paul is saying is that I found Peter acting wrongly. I found him playing the hypocrite. Now, let me back up just a little bit and tell you that Peter, when I was a new Christian and I was reading the Gospels, trying to read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I would watch Peter's life and I would think, Lord, I hope I'll never be that kind of Christian. I mean, bless his heart, he was up and down. He was bold and timid. He was going to set the world on fire, and then he's hiding behind the enemy's lines. And just such a disappointment. Just full of faith one day, and the next day he's just full of doubt. And I thought, boy, that would wear me out. If I was that kind of person, up and down, I just never had a desire to be the kind of person that just rejoices today and then belly aching tomorrow. But Peter was that kind of guy. I mean, he just was up and down, and I thought, but you know, after I became a pastor, I pastored some of those folk. Good people, I loved them, but bless their heart, I tell you, you just could not keep them anchored. You could not keep them in the right direction. They'd come in one day, and I'm saying, hey, bless God, I'm telling you, I'm ready to, and the next day, you can't even find them. I mean, you know. And it's just sad to see people live that kind of life. But then you come to the book of Acts, and something happens in an upper room. 120 people are there. They're praying, having a prayer meeting. And all of a sudden, that room is filled with the presence of the Holy Ghost. And Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost that God. In other words, he is controlled. Instead of being controlled by his emotions, instead of being controlled by circumstances, he is allowing now the Holy Ghost of God to control him. And what a difference it made in his life. And I'm here to tell you, if you try to live the Christian life in your own energy, you're going to be up and down and fail.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you don't have it in you. You just do not have it in you. You don't have the strength. You don't have the wisdom. And if you do your best, your very level best, it's going to fail day after day. But once the Holy Ghost of God comes in and takes over and starts controlling you, then he enables you to do that God wants you to do. Matter of fact, the Bible said, walk in the Spirit. Now that's not mile after mile, that's step by step. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so you allow the Holy Ghost of God to control you, help you make the decisions, direct you, empower you, do whatever's necessary in your life to help you pray, to read the Scriptures, to react to that situation that you've just come up against. And so Peter now is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and his life becomes markedly different. He's no longer up and down. He's no longer allowing emotions to control him.
He's no longer allowing circumstances to dictate to him how he's going to talk or act. He's such a different individual that God can use him and does use him in such a powerful way. He and John one day went to the temple to pray. And there's that beautiful gate, 75 feet tall. And they're going into the temple, and this beggar is sitting there at the gate. Been crippled for over 40 years. I mean, he's never climbed a tree. He's never run up the road. He's never played with the boys. I mean, for 40 plus years, he has been a cripple, and he's sitting there at the beautiful gate begging alms. And Peter and John are going by, and they allow the Holy Ghost of God to interrupt their schedule. They allow the Holy Ghost of God to say to them, pause just a minute. You see, so many times we're so busy, we've got to get from here to there, and we don't have any wiggle room for God to use us. I mean, we pass that person that has been crippled for years with drugs or crippled for years with that, and God wants to use us to help them, but we don't have any time because we got that appointment. We've got to get here on time. And so thank God for people who are interruptible. And so Peter and John are about to go into the temple, and he sticks out his arm and he says, alms. And so they stop in their tracks, and Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give we thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now Peter knew that he didn't have the power to heal that man. I'm sure he's been to the best doctors. I'm sure his mom and dad have done what they can to help him. I'm sure the boy himself has tried time after time to stand and to walk. Maybe if I just give a little more effort. Maybe if I just try harder, only to fail again and again. Peter knows he doesn't have any ability to help that man, but he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen.
And he reaches out his hand, and something took place in that man's life that day. I mean, for 40 years he's been in there, but something took place to where he had hope, maybe today. And he finds himself standing on his own two feet. And the Bible says he begins to walk. And then he begins to leap. And then he begins to praise the Lord. And listen, I'm talking about after the Holy Ghost of God came upon Peter and began to control him, he became quite different than he was for those 3 or 3.5 years. Instead of being in and out and cold and hot and a disappointment to our Lord, now he's a powerful instrument because of the Holy Spirit. People noticed it. They noticed when they'd come into Peter's presence, they took note that he'd been with Jesus. I want folk to be able to recognize that I'm different than the run-of-the-mill type of guy. I want them to realize, they may not explain it, but to be able to say there's something different about that fella. And so they took note about Peter that he'd been with Jesus. He was such an influence on people that when people would have a sick loved one, they would bring him and lay him on the curb or lay him at the edge of the road so that when Peter passed by, that maybe just his shadow would overshadow them, and maybe they would be healed from that thing that they... He's just a man of impact and power now. He's called to Cornelius' house. He goes and preaches the gospel to Cornelius, and his whole household gets saved. He's in prison, and there he is with those chains, and all of a sudden the chains fall off, and the door, first automatic door, door opens up, and here he comes. And I'm just saying, you have all these wonderful experiences in Peter's life where one time after another, instead of him being up and down and cold and hot and operating by his feelings, God has used him in such a powerful, powerful way time and time again. But then all of a sudden, I find him playing the hypocrite. This great man of God, who has been used time and time again by God himself, is now playing the role of a hypocrite. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I hate hypocrisy. I'd rather you stand eyeball to eyeball to me, cuss me out, tell me what you think, than to pretend that you're something you're not.
Amen.
You see, a hypocrite is, John Wayne's a hypocrite. He plays a part that he's not in real life. A hypocrite is a person who plays a role that he's not really. And I never want to be, when I was unsaved, I met so many people who said they were Christians. They used the same language I did. They went to the same places I did. They did the same things I did. And I remember as a boy saying, if that's Christianity, I do not want a spoonful of it. I did not like hypocrisy. Still don't. But here's Peter playing the role of a hypocrite. He has been fellowshipping with the Gentiles. He's been praying with them and eating with them and so on. But some Jewish leaders come down from Jerusalem and they're going to visit, and Peter leaves the Gentiles and pretends that he hadn't had anything to do with them. He's pretending that he's not a part of them, that he doesn't fellowship with them. And Paul saw this, and Paul, eyeball to eyeball, said, you're wrong. You are playing the hypocrite. How did Peter, who has been used time after time after time, how does he find himself in this shape? How does he find himself to the point that he's pretending to be something? Could it be that maybe he's trying to live on yesterday's experiences? Could it be that he's looked back on all these wonderful things that God has done in his life and he's not where he should be today? See, we're so guilty about telling our stories, and our stories sometimes are old. God answered this prayer, but it was 10 years ago. I led this person to Christ, but it was 5 years ago. My devotions, I'm telling, were such a bad, but what about now?
Yeah.
What about today? Does the Word of God stir you and thrill you? And as she said a while ago, you get up giddy because you're going to meet the Savior. You say, I mean, is that your testimony today? Or do you have to reach back in your life to another time when it was thrilling? Is that what happened to Peter? You see, we've got to take daily inventory. Lord, where am I in my walk with you? Do I love you as much today as I did when I first got saved? Am I as excited about the things of God as I used to be? Lord, when I first got saved, I want to tell everybody, my mom, my dad, my sisters, my brothers, everybody, about Christ. Is that excitement still there? Or am I silent and mum about the things of Christ? I'm just wondering, was Peter guilty of trying to live on yesterday's experiences? Can I tell you that I preach in churches all over the country, and our churches are filled with people who've lost the thrill.
Yeah.
Oh, they can tell you stories, but they had to reach back. It's not fresh. Listen, He is a God of now.
Yes.
He is a God of right now. And what He did for you when you first got saved, that wonderful thrill when you you didn't know how to pray very well, but you'd slip into the prayer closet, and maybe you prayed, God is great, God is good, but it stirred you. It did something in your soul. What about now? Are you excited when you go to meet the King of Kings? Are you thrilled when you open the book and you know He's going to speak to you? Be careful that you don't live on yesterday's experiences, because pretty soon you'll be pretending. Oh, you'll be sitting here and you'll be singing the songs and you'll be shaking the hands and you'll be talking about how much you love the Lord. But in fact, your heart is cold and and you know that you're not what you used to be. Peter, you're wrong. You're being a hypocrite. And so I've looked at this story and I said, Lord, how in the world can a person who has had these many answers to prayer, been used of God in such a powerful way, how can he get in that kind of shape? And again, I'm convinced it's because if we don't stay current, if we don't want our devotions, listen, one of my favorite songs is, I'm pressing on the upward way.
Hey.
New heights, I'm gaining, listen.
Every day.
Still pressing on. Does that describe you? If we're going to have revival, it's got to be that you can't live on yesterday's experiences. But then I realized God is a God of a second chance. Just because Peter failed does not mean he's a failure. I mean, that's a one-time event.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to define you.
That's right.
It doesn't have to say this is who you are. I mean, that's a one-time thing. I mean, listen, you get when you're in this race, you start off at the beginning line and you start running. If you fall down, you don't have to get up and go back to the starting place. You get up, brush yourself off, and continue on with your journey.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But he's a God of a second chance. And when you go over then to 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you find him bragging about God's goodness and God's power and God's grace and peace and all that. Listen, that man who was being a hypocrite is bragging on his Savior. Because just because he failed does not mean he's a failure. The preacher was struggling financially. A lot of preachers do. They just, for whatever reason, they were struggling. And this wealthy, very, very wealthy man found out about it. And God moved it in the wealthy man's heart to write a check, a pretty sizable check, for the preacher. And so he put the check in the envelope with a little note and sent it to the preacher. And the preacher went to the post office and got the little letter out and opened it up. And there was that sizable check with a little note that said, more to come. Yeah, these are wonderful experiences. Answers to prayer, leading people to Christ, protection, leadership. I mean, these are wonderful experiences, but the book says there's more to come. Yeah, more, more to come. Our God wants us to live in that environment. He wants us to be thrilled with our devotions and be thrilled with our. He wants to continue to lead us and guide us and answer prayers for us. Listen, there's a church I've been going to for a good number of years, and a little lady there, she was in her 50s, I guess, when I first met her. She'd sing in the choir, and I'd watch her when she'd sing in the choir. And she'd always had this biggest smile. She just acted like she loved Christ with all of her heart. And she just radiated joy and peace. And so she'd come down out of the choir, and I'd say, Miss Mildred, I said, you're such a blessing to me. Thank you for singing in the choir. And as I got to know her, she said, Brother Hayes, I just love him with all of my heart. She said, I just enjoy walking with him and serving him. And I said, well, you're just a blessing to me to watch. So I got to where I called her Smiley because she smiled all the time. I didn't call her by her name. I called her Smiley. Well, again, she was in her 50s. I guess she's in her 80s at the time of the story I'm fixing to tell you now. I've been knowing her about 30 years. And I said to the preacher, I said, I didn't see Smiley in the choir. I said, what's going on? He said, well, she had a stroke. He said, she wants to see you. She told me to bring you out and let you see her if you didn't mind. I said, I'd be glad to. So here's the story he told me. He said, every year, same week, or same day of the week, same time of the day, year after year, she had a beauty appointment. Always got her hair fixed on a certain day, certain hour of the day. And she'd show up at the beauty appointment and she would always tell them about her love for Christ, her walk with God, her love for her church. Whatever time her appointment was, she was on time. I mean, she never missed an appointment, year after year after year. Never missed an appointment. She was faithful to be there. Same thing with the church. She was always there early. She was always faithful to the house of God. I don't care what the weather was, she was always, and she was always smiling, just walking with God. But her appointment came, and she didn't show. So the beautician said, that's unusual. So they called the church that she had been talking about, the preacher that she had been talking about. They called that church and said, Miss Mildred did not show up. Would you check on her? So they went out, her and her son went out to the house to check on her and knocked on the door, and she never answered the door. They went around to the garage and looked in, and there she was laying in the garage. She had had her stroke there in the garage. Got the paramedics out. She's in the nursing home now when I get there to see her. I walk in. She's laying to the side. Her body's sort of twisted like that. When I walk in, she's still got that big smile. Still got that big smile. She can't talk. But I said, Smiley, you still love the Lord, don't you? And her little old head, she said. She died within a few hours after that. But I left that room and I said, Lord, would you help me be like Smiley?
Yeah.
Consistent. Rejoicing in the Lord year after year after year. Well, preacher, you don't know what kind of difficulties I have. No, I don't, but he does. And I know this, that he has enough grace for whatever.
Amen.
Peter, how in the world can you go through these wonderful experiences and be used of God in that fashion and then play the role of a hypocrite? Everybody in this room is capable of it.
Yeah, that's right.
If you try to live on yesterday's blessings instead of having a fresh batch poured on you today, I want a fresh batch, don't you? Would you stand with us for prayer, please?
Our heads are bowed for just a moment. I wonder how many in the room, by lifting your hand and say, preacher, that's my desire. I want so much to have God's blessings daily. Can I see your hand, please? I want my devotions to be thrilling, my prayer life to be exciting. God bless your hands all over the building. Without a lot of fanfare, ask him to start playing. You just come on in on the first meeting here. Say, Lord, I'm coming in fresh and anew, asking you to let the Holy Ghost of God control me. Take care of my life so I can have answers to prayer daily. I can have, just come on today. You've lifted your hand. Come on down to the altar. Let God have his way in your life this morning. Lord, I'm surrendering myself afresh and anew. I'm asking you, Lord, to don't let me ever be into the place where I'm pretending. I want it to be exciting today like it was when I first got saved. I want to be able to say God answered prayers today. Some have come. Would you come? Come on, God's spoken to you. Don't push him away. Revival starts with only one match. You strike one match and a fire can be started. Are you that one match? And while these are here praying, wonder how many in the building you'd have to lift your hand and say, preacher, I don't even know him. I've never been saved. Please pray for me. I'm not a Christian. Can I see your hand, please, anywhere in the room? Anywhere in the room?